Causa, Jaime said. It is famous in Peru. It has potatoes and avocados and tuna fish. Jungle casserole, I said. Are you going to eat with us?
We have food here. Cuy.
What's cuy? I asked.
Roasted guinea pig.
Knock yourself out, Tessa said. Tessa and I both ate until we were full. I had 2 eggs, half the container of causa, which I ate with my bread, 2 kebabs, and a banana, all of which I downed with a warm but delicious Inca Kola. After we were full, we wrapped up everything we hadn't eaten and thanked the men again. They were sitting in their own circle, eating and talking quietly in Spanish. We're going to sleep, I said. Buenas noches.
Good night,
Jaime said. Tessa and I went back to the tent.
That was good, she said. I wonder how long before the food runs out, and we're living off snails.
I'm afraid we'll be eating snails very soon, I said. Let's just hope we have my friends with us when we do. Chapter 18 On the Move.
Mr. Michael! Mr. Michael!
I opened my eyes to see Jaime leaning over me. It was still dark.
What?
I asked groggily.
The voice has signaled us.
I sat up.
The voice?
He nodded.
Come.
I looked over at Tessa, who was still asleep, then climbed out of the tent and followed Jaime to the radio. Our camp was lit by nothing but the moon, and Jaime had even covered the radio dials with leaves. I didn't see them at first, but in the shadows the other 2 Peruvian men were dressed and ready to go, standing next to their packs.
How do they signal you?
I asked. Jaime showed me a small blinking device that looked like a simple pager.
With this.
He turned on the radio, and a voice immediately came over the speaker.
Southern Cross, a female voice said. Do you read me? Southern Cross, do you?
Jaime lifted the microphone close to his mouth and said in a soft voice,
This is Southern Cross.
Please confirm.
The voice said.
10-1-1-9-6-2.
Confirmed. Please receive this message. The army is on the move east on the PE-30C highway. I repeat, the army is on the move east on the PE-30C highway. Do you copy?
I copy, Jaime said.
Transmission complete, the woman said. Good luck.
The radio went dead. He looked at me.
It is time to go.
I'll wake Tessa, I said.
I went back to the tent.
Tessa.
She didn't move, so I lightly shook her. She woke with a start.
What?
It's time, I said. They're coming.
Who's coming?
The army. Tessa pushed her hair back from her eyes, then sat up.
Let's go.
She pulled on her shoes, then followed me out. Jaime and the other men were standing near the outside of the tent waiting for us.
Vámonos,
he said. We followed Jaime down the mountain, moving quickly through the dark jungle. Jaime's friends were fascinated by Tessa's and my glow, and Jaime reminded us to pull our sleeves down as far as possible. It took us nearly 40 minutes to reach the stony outcrop, twice as long as it had taken in daylight. Except for a few black stratus clouds, the sky was clear, and the stars shone like punctured holes in a black curtain. The tension around us was as thick as the darkness, or maybe it was just fear. Something told me it might be the last night of my life. I shivered at the thought. From the edge of the outcrop, we saw them. The lights of the army's caravan stretched on for miles, a long, dark snake slithering steadily toward us, 2 abreast. It was the first time I fully realized how improbable our task was. I reminded myself that my friends were somewhere in that snake's belly, and we were their only chance of escape.
Look at all those trucks, Tessa said softly. There's got to be 100 of them.
At least, I said. I took a deep breath of the crisp night air. How long until they reach us?
Maybe 20 minutes, Jaime said.
Then we better go. He slipped the pack from his shoulder and propped it up against a stone. As he dug through it, he asked,
Did you have your GPS?
I took the iPod out of my pocket and showed him.
Good. And here is your radio. The frequency is 1717. Can you remember that?
1717. The number of electric children, I said. Twice.
See. Si.
His voice fell.
If you are captured, you must pulse and destroy the radio before it is found. Understand?
I nodded. Yes.
When you have found all your friends, raise your hand to signal us. We will activate the sentries.
Okay, I said.
I will see you in Cusco where?
Hostel Triumph, near the town square.
Si, El Triunfo, he said.
He looked into my eyes.
Good luck, Mr. Michael. Rescue your friends.
We embraced. I looked once more out toward our enemy, then nodded to Tessa, and we started down the slope, carefully making our way in the dark toward the highway. As quiet as we tried to be, our hike down was heralded by the screeching of birds and curious monkeys in the trees above us. At street level, we could no longer see the stony outcrop or the lights of the advancing caravan. We could only guess how close the trucks were. I got down on my knees and put my ear to the asphalt road like I had seen Native Americans do in old westerns, listening for buffalo. I could hear the deep, low rumble of the distant convoy. We crossed the highway about 20 yards down from the spot the rock slide would take place and disappeared into the darkness of the jungle, waiting behind the waist-high roots of a lupuna tree. Neither of us spoke, and the only sound was the chattering of monkeys and the millions of insects around us that sounded like the buzzing of electricity.
Do you think they'll be in the first truck? Tessa asked.
No, they'll probably want some kind of a buffer.
Do you think they'll all be in the same truck?
I shook my head.
We'll find out soon enough.
The minutes dragged on, raising my anxiety until my heart pounded like an African drum. I felt like a man with a noose around his neck, waiting for the floor to fall out from beneath him. When the caravan arrived, we could not only hear the rumbling of the trucks and the screeching of animals at its approach, but we could feel the convoy vibrating the jungle with 1,000,000 pounds of metal. Neither of us breathed when the first of the truck's lights hit us. Then the first vehicles passed, a small jeep with a mounted machine gun followed by a tank. Behind it were 5 personnel transports painted in camouflage green. They drove past us without incident.
Where's the rock slide?
Tessa whispered.
Come on, Jaime, I said. Roll the rocks.
Then I saw the problem. Jaime had miscalculated the density of the jungle. The rocks were crashing against trees, not even making it to the road. Only a few of the smaller rocks actually reached the asphalt, and they were small enough that they didn't even slow the trucks.
It's not working,
Tessa said, her voice pitched. My chest constricted in panic as I watched the convoy pass.
It has to work, I said. This is our only chance.
I turned to her.
Have any of my friends passed? I'm not sure. The trucks are going pretty fast. We've got to stop them somehow. Try short-circuiting them, she said.
I focused on the nearest truck and pulsed.
Nothing happened. My pulse isn't strong enough. It was powerful, Tessa said. I felt it. Can you magnetize them?
They're too heavy. It would only pull me to them. I thought for a moment. But maybe if I didn't try to pull them toward me...
I looked at Tessa.
Enhance me.
She took my hand.
Okay, go.
I reached out, exerting as much magnetism as I could, focusing not on the vehicles, but on the space between two of them. Suddenly, two trucks veered into each other. There was a loud crash as they hit and locked bumpers. Then one of the trucks, which was slightly ahead of the other, rolled over on its side, blocking the road. The crash set off a chain reaction as the vehicles behind them, their visibility limited by darkness, rammed into the vehicles in front of them. When the convoy had come to a halt, we could hear doors slamming and the shouts of soldiers furiously yelling at each other in Spanish.
That should hold them for a while, Tessa said.
Let's find my friends, I said. Do you feel anything?
Not yet.
We moved quickly beneath the shadow of the trees, about 25 feet from the edge of the road. Suddenly, Tessa stopped and pointed at an idling green transport near our side of the road.
There,
she said.
Someone's in that truck.
Are you sure?
She nodded.
Yeah. It's Zeus.
You can tell who it is?
I can smell him.
He doesn't smell that strong.
Not him, his power. Everyone's power smells different.
I wondered what I smelled like.
Let's get him, I said.
The trucks were all jammed up next to one another, making it difficult to find a safe route. We crept to the edge of the jungle's shadow. Even though we were hidden by the dark, we knew that the soldiers might have night vision goggles, so we stayed low, moving cautiously. As we neared the truck Zeus was in, the driver's door opened and the driver got out. He walked around to the truck's rear and lit a cigarette. He was only about 30 feet in front of us.
I can hit him from here, I said.
While he was slightly turned, I made a lightning ball and threw it at him. I missed, and the blue-green sphere popped against the truck behind him. The soldier threw his cigarette down, then turned around to see what had made the noise.
You missed, Tessa said.
Yeah, I know.
I quickly formed another one and threw it. This one caught him square in the back, dropping him to the ground.
Let's go.
We moved in until we were next to the man, hidden from the rest of the convoy by the truck.
There's someone else in the truck's cab, Tessa said.
I'll take care of it.
I made another ball and lobbed it into the truck's cab. There was a flash of blue light, then the sound of a head hitting the dashboard.
Got him.
We got down on our hands and knees and crawled underneath the truck, coming up at its rear. The dented grill of the truck behind it was only 6 feet back. It looked as if it had rear-ended the truck in front of it, then backed off. There were soldiers in the truck's cab.
There are men in there, I said. They'll see if we open the back door. I'll have to take them out. What's the door like?
Tessa asked. I looked up from beneath the bumper. There were two doors. A thick chain with a padlock was wrapped between the door handles.
It's locked with a chain. How do we get that off?
Tessa asked.
I'll check the driver for keys.
As I started to crawl back, there was a massive blast of electricity, blowing the doors off their hinges and into the windshield of the truck behind us. For a moment, we both froze, unsure of what had just happened.
Zeus found his power, Tessa said.
So much for stealth, I said.
Tessa and I crawled back under the center of the truck as soldiers began running toward us. Zeus jumped down off the truck's bed, his legs almost within reach of us. Electricity was sparking between his fingers and legs. He tore the smoking resat off his chest and flung it to the ground, then began blasting everything and everyone around him.
Eat lightning! He shouted.
Zeus!
I whispered loudly.
Zeus stopped and looked around.
Who said that?
Down here. It's me, Michael.
Michael?
He crouched down.
Where did you come from?
Get down here, fast!
He got on his knees and crawled under the truck. He stopped when he saw Tessa.
That explains why I was suddenly so powerful.
I've always made you a better man than you are, Tessa said. No hello, sweetheart?
I was a little busy, he said.
It's good to see you too, she said coldly.
I take it you two know each other, I said.
Tessa's eyes narrowed.
I thought I did.
Zeus said,
It wasn't all my fault.
Great, you have history, I said.
You can settle this when no one's trying to kill us.
Tessa pointed a finger at Zeus.
Later, she said. We'll talk later.
Can't wait,
Zeus mumbled beneath his breath.
Can you sense anyone else? I asked Tessa.
There's someone over in that truck, Tessa said. I don't recognize the smell.
Do you know who it is? I asked Zeus. No, we were all blindfolded.
Let's get them, I said.
The truck was in the far row closest to the mountain, two vehicles back from where we were. It was dark, as Zeus had blown the lights out of the trucks around us. As we crept toward it, we could hear the shouting of soldiers, but the only soldiers we could see were either unconscious or electrocuted.
Keep your eyes open, I said.
From under the truck I saw a pair of boots. I made a lightning ball and threw it at the soldier. It exploded against his shin, dropping him to the ground. Then Zeus and I slunk around the back, while Tessa stayed sheltered next to its back wheel.
Can you blow off its lock? I asked Zeus.
Yes, give me a hand, he said to Tessa, reaching his hand out to her.
I'll do it from here, she said.
Zeus slid around the side of the truck, checked for soldiers, then pointed at the door and fired. Amplified by Tessa, the heat of his electricity actually melted the metal latch around the lock.
It's open,
he whispered. I ran around and pulled back one of the doors. McKenna was standing inside. Her skin was red and smoke was rising off of her. She had already melted through her cuffs, and her resat was on the ground and smoking as well.
McKenna!
Michael?
Get down here, fast!
She ran to the end of the truck and jumped down.
It's so good to see you, she said. What's happening? I'm suddenly super powerful. My resat just exploded.
It's me, Tessa said.
McKenna looked at her quizzically.
Tesla?
Long story, she said. And it's Tessa now.
Come on, we've got to rescue the others, I said. Who's next?
Suddenly, there was a burst of gunfire. Bullets hit next to me on the truck.
That was close, Zeus said.
Looks like they've got night vision goggles, I said.
I have an idea, McKenna said. Everyone close your eyes on the count of three. One, two, three!
We covered our eyes. McKenna stood up and flashed so brightly that even with my eyes covered, I could see the light. She had literally turned the night to day. When I opened my eyes, she was crouched back down next to me.
That was crazy, I said. They could all see you.
They could see us anyway with their night vision goggles, she said. I just took care of that.
I bet they're all blind now, Zeus said.
Let's get out of here, I said. Who's next?
I can't sense anyone, Tessa said.
I knew that there was a weakness in my plan. Tessa wouldn't be able to detect Austin, Jack, or Wade. We needed to find Ian.
They must be farther back. Let's keep going.
The four of us crept single file down between the trucks. Suddenly Tessa pointed.
There, she said.
Zeus and I crept low to the cab of the truck. The driver's side window was open, and I could hear Peruvian folk music playing from inside the cab. I produced a lightning ball about the size of a cantaloupe, then lobbed it into the cab's open window. It exploded louder than any I had made before. We ran around to the rear, and Zeus blew off the back door. Then McKenna and I climbed in while Zeus and Tessa stood watch. Ian was inside waiting for us.
"Tesla sure makes me see a long way," he said.
"It's Tessa," she and McKenna said simultaneously. McKenna melted off his bands.
"I'm glad we found you," I said. "We need your help finding everyone else."
"We've got other problems," he said. "The soldiers are gathering on both sides. There's thousands of them behind us, about 100 yards that way," he said, pointing toward the back of the convoy. "They're getting ready to move in."
"Are we surrounded?"
"Just on the road." The sky was beginning to lighten a little as dawn was coming.
"They're probably waiting for daylight.
Where are the rest of our guys?"
"You passed Austin," he said.
"He's back there. The last I saw of the others, they were behind us."
"All the way back?"
"No, maybe 10-15 trucks back."
We ran 2 trucks back and freed Austin, who was overjoyed to see us all.
"What's the plan?" he asked.
"Simple," Tessa said. "Find everyone, run away."
"Who are you?"
Austin said, looking at her.
"Tessa," she said.
"Like Tesla," he said.
"Almost," she said.
"What do you do?"
"I make people more electric."
"Cool," he said.
"Wade's there," Ian said. 7 trucks back. Just behind the jeep with the machine gun. But there are soldiers everywhere. Some are walking around."
"We better get off the road," I said.
We returned to the shadow of the jungle, passing all the trucks between us and Wade. When we reached Wade's truck, Ian stopped us.
"There are soldiers in his truck, and the truck next to him."
"I'll clear the way," Zeus said. "Turn it on, Tessa."
He reached out and blasted both trucks with such force that it actually rocked them.
"Looks like we're good," Ian said.
"For a minute."
We ran to the truck and opened the back door. Wade was still bound to the wall and unable to move. Ian hadn't mentioned that he wasn't alone.
"Stop!"
a soldier shouted, pointing his gun at me. I pulsed, knocking the man back against the wall. I ran in and grabbed Wade's bands and melted through them. He looked at me in disbelief.
"Michael, where did you come from?"
"Idaho," I said. "Let's get out of here."
"Did you find Jack?"
"Not yet," I said. "We've just got him and Taylor to rescue, then we're out of here."
We climbed down from the truck bed.
"Sorry, man," Ian said. "I don't know how I missed that guy in there."
"It's okay," I said. "I didn't. Where are Taylor and Jack?"
"I can't see them."
"What do you mean? You can't see that far?"
"No, with Tessa around, I can see past the last truck. They're just not in any of them. They're gone."
"What do you mean, they're gone?" Wade said.
"You've got to find Jack."
"I'm telling you, he's not here. Neither of them are."
"But you said you saw them earlier," I said.
"They were with us when we left."
I looked at Austin, hoping he had an idea. He just shrugged.
"Maybe they escaped."
I turned back to Ian.
"So far, all the transport trucks had big chains on back. Look for chains."
"All right."
He was quiet a moment, then said,
"I see one. It's the truck Taylor was in. It's open, but she's not there."
"How can you tell it's the one Taylor was in?" I asked.
"There's still electric residue."
He kept looking.
"I can see another truck open. There are leg manacles."
He turned to me.
"Jack escaped."
"Or someone let them go," Austin said. "Are they together?"
"I don't know."
"Can you track Taylor like you did back at the academy?"
"I might be able to follow her residue. We've got to get close to the truck she was in."
"How far down?" I asked. about 15 more trucks, but there are soldiers all along here.
Back to the jungle, I said. Fortunately, the farther back we went, the more the soldiers seemed unaware that their prisoners had escaped. They were just talking or sleeping, waiting for the road jam to clear. When we got to Taylor's truck, there was a resat lying on the ground with cut bands.
This is where she was, Ian said.
Her resat was cut off.
It had to be turned off first, I said, or it would kill her.
Who would cut it off? Zeus asked.
Probably the same guy who took them out,
Austin said, pointing at two soldiers lying face down on the ground.
Where did she go? I asked Ian.
Ian looked around for a moment, then pointed south toward the trees.
Two sets of footprints. They ran off into the jungle.
Jack and Taylor?
I don't know, but I can't see Jack anywhere else.
Let's go, I said. When everyone else had disappeared into the jungle, I stopped at the side of the road and raised both hands.
What are you doing?
Austin asked.
They'll see you.
Suddenly, the sound of machine guns erupted from the hillside.
They're firing at us!
Zeus shouted.
No, I said. They're ours. Let's get out of here.
All around us, the soldiers began jumping out of their trucks, pulling out their weapons. As Jaime had planned, they were facing the opposite direction as us, as we plunged unseen into the dark jungle. Chapter 19 Bounty Hunter. Taylor woke, groggy and disoriented. She was moving, she could tell that, but not by her own power. Someone was carrying her over his shoulder, fireman style. Her stomach hurt where the man's shoulder dug into it. The man carrying her was muscular and lean, but panting heavily.
Who is it?
She focused on his thoughts.
I've got to rest. If I could get close enough to get his gun. Too bad he's got that helmet. If Taylor could just reboot him.
Taylor recognized Jack's thoughts.
I don't know how much longer I can go without water.
A few minutes later, Jack said out loud,
Come on, dude. I've got to rest. We've been walking for hours.
And we've yonks to go, mate,
the voice said with an Australian accent.
Keep walking.
Put down that gun, and we'll see how tough you are. First chance I get, I'm bucking wild on you.
Taylor felt guilty letting Jack carry her, but she was too weak to walk on her own. Her joints felt like rubber.
What did they do to me?
10 minutes later, Jack carried her over a stream. He slipped on a rock and caught himself before he fell, but not without twisting his ankle. She could feel his pain in his thoughts. When they reached the other side, he stumbled and, protecting Taylor, fell to his knees, then sighed, letting Taylor fall on top of him.
Get up! The man shouted. What are you going to do? Shoot me? I might. Do it. Then you can carry her yourself. Up with you!
The man shouted.
I need rest. And I need water.
There was a short pause. Then the man said,
All right, you bludger. Just 5 minutes. You can drink from the stream.
Jack forced himself to his feet.
Don't try anything stupid or I'll shoot you both.
I'm not running,
Jack said as he stumbled over to the stream. He knelt down on the bank and splashed water in his face, then cupped his hands and drank from it.
I'm sure it's got all sorts of nasties, the man said, drinking from his own canteen.
Jack took another drink. Then he walked back over and fell down next to Taylor. He noticed her eyes fluttering. She forced them open and looked into his eyes.
Jack,
she said weakly.
Shh,
he said, shaking his head.
Where are we?
He put his finger over his mouth and tilted his head toward the man. For the first time, Taylor saw who Jack had been thinking about. The Australian was tall, dressed in the black and red uniform of an LGEN district leader. He was holding a pistol. He also wore the attack helmet the LGEN donned whenever they came after her, which explained why she couldn't reboot him. He suddenly looked at her.
So you're awake, are you?
Who are you?
Taylor asked.
An opportunist, the man said. You're a very valuable catch, Sheila. There's a bounty on your head. 2.5 million souls. That's almost $1 million American. And my pack mule here, he said, pointing his pistol at Jack, has a $50,000 bounty.
The man walked closer, but kept his distance.
Now that you're awake, let me tell you how this works. If you try to escape, I shoot your friend here. If he tries to escape, I shoot you. And don't pretend you don't care. I was in Pasadena at the academy when your group shut it down. I know about you, Electro Clan. You look out for each other.
Where's everyone else? Taylor asked.
No idea, he said. Probably still with the army, unless someone rescued them. I expect that's what the old bloody jam-up was about.
Why are we with you?
The Peruvian army had no interest in collecting all that bounty, but I do. And since I know how your group works, I looked at the path to Lima and decided where your friends were most likely to try to rescue you. They didn't disappoint. In all the confusion, I snatched you and your friend here and headed off into the jungle before the army knew what happened.
Where are you taking us?
I just told you. To collect the bounty.
Where?
Why would you need to know that?
He pointed his pistol at Jack.
Time's up, mate. Get up.
Jack looked impossibly weary, but still forced himself to his feet. Then he bent over to lift Taylor.
It's okay, she said. I can walk.
He can carry you, dollface, the man said.
I told you I can walk, Taylor said. If he helps me.
She took Jack's hand. Jack suddenly understood.
Can you read my mind?
Taylor subtly nodded.
Is there another reason you want to walk?
Jack thought. She nodded.
To slow us down?
She nodded again.
Do you think someone's trying to save us?
Yes, she said.
Yes, what? The guard asked.
Taylor squeezed Jack's hand.
Yes, I can walk.
Chapter 20. Electrical Residue.
Who was that firing? Austin asked.
It's just a machine, I said. Jaime and his friend set it up.
You found Jaime?
He found me, I said.
And who is Tessa?
I'll tell you later. We had traveled nearly a mile from the road before the gunfire started to slow. I wondered if the army had discovered they were fighting robotic turrets instead of real people. Suddenly, Ian stopped walking.
This is really weird, he said, looking around.
What's weird? I asked.
The trail's hard to follow, because Taylor's residue only shows up occasionally on trees and bushes. I should see it on the ground.
Maybe someone's carrying her, Austin said.
That could be, Ian said.
We should measure the depth of the footprints, Austin said.
Ian and Austin both crouched down next to one of the footprints.
Could I get some light? Austin asked.
McKenna lit up her hand and held it close.
Thanks,
Austin said. He ran his hand along an indentation in the rich soil.
He said. Interesting.
Are those Taylor's? I asked.
Not unless Taylor has size 11 feet and is wearing boots, Austin said.
One of these footprints is deeper than the other, Ian said. I think Austin's right. Someone's carrying her. That's why I'm only seeing her residue when she brushes up against something. Can you tell if it's Jack carrying her? Wade asked.
Why would Jack be carrying her?
McKenna asked.
Let's just keep going, I said.
We hurried on through the thick jungle with Ian in front and McKenna lighting the way for the rest of us. After an hour, Ian said,
We're gaining on them.
How can you tell? I asked.
The residue is fresher.
We crossed over a stream. The sun was peeking above the canopy, and it was now light enough that we could see without McKenna's help.
Look, Ian said.
He pointed to a grouping of footprints in the dirt.
It looks like they stopped here. Whoever was carrying Taylor must have put her down. I can see residue everywhere.
He pointed at the ground.
Now there are three prints. Taylor must be walking on her own.
Whoever was carrying her must have gotten tired, I said.
Let's keep going.
We increased our pace. About 45 minutes later, Ian said,
I see them.
Is it Jack?
Wade asked.
Yes. Jack, Taylor, and an Elgen guard. He's holding a gun on them.
How far ahead of us are they?
Maybe a mile. Wait!
He turned his head a little.
There are trucks. It looks like he's meeting up with someone. There's a dirt road. It looks like 6 more Elgen guards.
Can we reach them before they meet up? I asked.
No, they're just about there.
And they've got trucks?
2 of them.
We've got to get there before they drive away, I said.
Hurry!
In spite of our weariness, we again quickened our pace, this time to almost a run. 10 minutes later, Ian said,
They've reached the trucks.
Faster!
I shouted, even though I doubted we could be. A few minutes later, Ian said,
They've tied up Taylor and Jack, and they're putting them in the trucks, but I don't think they're in a hurry. Some of them are sitting down.
Thank goodness, Austin said, panting.
A few minutes later, I asked Ian, What's going on?
It looks like they're arguing.
Who's arguing? I asked.
The guards.
Let's hope they keep arguing, I said. Just a few minutes later, we reached them, stopping less than 50 yards from the guards. I couldn't see the men, but through the trees I could see the bright red of one of the trucks.
They're still fighting, Ian said. I think it's getting pretty heated.
Are they armed?
To the teeth. Each of them has a sidearm, plus a knife, baton, and grenades. Standard Elgen utility belt.
We need a plan, I said.
On it,
Austin said. He cradled his head in his hand for a moment, then said,
The most important thing is to draw them away from Taylor and Jack.
And not get killed, Wade said.
That, too,
Austin said. He found a stick, then, kneeling on one knee, drew a circle in the dirt. He handed the stick to Ian.
Here, draw their layout.
Ian crouched down as we all gathered around him.
This is the road in. These rectangles on the left represent their 2 trucks, Ian said. Here's where the men are standing. This is where we are.
He handed the stick back to Austin. Austin looked at the diagram for a moment, then said,
All right, here's the plan. First, we move closer, to about here.
He touched the stick in the dirt.
Then we split up.
He dragged the stick in a clockwise arch.
Zeus, Tessa, Ian, and Wade, circle around to the right. Zeus and Tessa position themselves here at 3 o'clock. Wade and Ian keep going wide, circling around to the rear of the farthest truck.
And free Jack, Wade said.
Exactly. At the same time, Michael, McKenna, and I will go around the opposite way. Michael positions himself at 8 o'clock, here, while McKenna and I free Taylor. At the signal, Zeus blasts from here, and Michael pulses from here. If any of them try to run toward the trucks, Michael gets them here. If they try to run behind the back truck, Ian and Wade can tackle them. Got it?
What's the signal? I asked.
I'll whistle, Austin said. That way they'll look toward me and won't know what hit them when you and Zeus strike.
All right, I said. Everyone ready? Everyone nodded. Let's do it. We crept forward another 20 yards toward the clearing until Austin signaled us to stop. We were close enough to not only see the guards, but hear them arguing about how much money each of them would get. There were 2 men facing toward us. One of them was red in the face and shouting at a tall guard with his back to us.
We stole these trucks! We got shot at!
The tall guard spoke with an Australian accent.
You poor wankers stole some trucks? I stole these kids from under the bloody army's nose and dragged them 3 hours through the whoop-whoop. You get what we agreed on or nothing. That's my final offer.
I'll show you a final offer,
the red-faced man said, reaching for his gun. The Australian guard drew first and shot him twice. Then he shot the man next to him. The other 3 men put their hands in the air as smoke rose up from the campsite. When the ringing of the gun had settled, the Australian said,
Bloody crook! Anyone else have a problem with this?
One of the 3 quickly replied, You did what you had to do. It just means more for the rest of us.
It means more for me, the Australian said. I did the dirty work. You get what we agreed on.
He brandished his pistol.
Or don't you agree?
No worries, the man said.
The Australian laughed as he returned his pistol to its holster.
No worries, mate.
I counted the guards. 2 down, 4 left.
I thought you saw 7, I said to Ian. I must have counted wrong, he said.
Let's move, I said.
Austin grabbed McKenna's hand, and we moved to the left while everyone else moved right. I stopped at the designated place while Austin and McKenna moved past me to the truck Taylor was in. Austin whistled. The men all looked back.
What was that?
The Australian asked. One of them shouted,
Over there, by the...
A lightning bolt stopped him. Then a second flash knocked over the tall guard. 2 guards ran toward our position. I reached out and pulsed, knocking them both backward and unconscious. Zeus and Tessa emerged from the trees.
They're out, Zeus said. I'm surprised they're still alive. With Tessa around, I don't know my own strength.
Let's handcuff them, I said.
Why don't we just electrocute them and be done with them? Tessa said.
I looked at her.
We don't do it that way, I said. Unless we have to.
They do, she said.
We're not them, I said.
I knelt over the men I'd shocked. One was on his back, and I rolled him over onto his stomach and handcuffed him. Then I did the same to the other, while Zeus and Tessa handcuffed the other 2. As I was undoing their utility belts, I heard someone say,
What does a girl need to do around here to get some attention?
I looked up. Taylor was walking toward me.
Taylor!
I ran to her. We hugged. Then she pressed her lips against mine. When we parted, her eyes were locked on mine.
You have no idea how good it is to see you, she said. I wondered if I would ever see you again.
You didn't think I would come for you?
I knew you'd try, she said. But there are 5,000 of them, and only 1 of you.
Yeah, the odds were a little off, I said.
For them, she said.
Then she laughed, which was beautiful to hear. What happened here? I asked, touching the cut on her forehead. She shrugged.
Car accident, she said.
We kissed again.
Hey, Zeus said. Get a room.
Taylor looked over at him and smiled.
I'm glad to see you in one piece.
Zeus grinned.
That makes 2 of us.
Tessa just stared at Taylor with a confused expression.
What is Tara doing here?
She's not Tara, Zeus said. This is Taylor, I said. Number 17. Tessa still looked confused.
But you look just like Tara.
They're twins, Bagelhead, Zeus said.
Twins? You must be identical, Tessa said.
Only on the outside, Ian said, walking up to us. Taylor looked at Ian and hugged him.
Thank you for coming after us.
No woman left behind, he said. Where's Jack? I asked. Still in the truck, Ian said. Wade's untying him.
He probably needs some help, McKenna said.
She began walking back toward the truck. Suddenly we heard Jack shout, followed by a gunshot.
What was that?
I said.
Look out!
Tessa shouted. An L-Gen guard came around the side of the truck, pointing his gun at us. Zeus fired full force, blowing the gun out of his hands and knocking him back nearly 20 feet.
Where'd he come from?
I shouted. We all ran toward the truck.
I didn't see him, Ian said. I'm sorry, I didn't see him.
As I came around the truck, my heart stopped.
Oh no,
Abigail said. Jack was kneeling on the ground, holding Wade in his arms. There was blood everywhere. Chapter 21. The Loss. As we got to Jack's side, he was pressing down on Wade's abdomen. Blood was rising up between his fingers. Wade was shaking, and his skin was pale and wax-like.
You're going to be okay, buddy,
Jack said, his voice trembling. He looked up at us.
Someone help me stop the bleeding.
It hurts,
Wade said. His voice was slurred.
You're a warrior,
Jack said.
Remember, you're a warrior.
It hurts.
Abigail fell to her knees next to Wade and touched his leg. Even though he was still shaking, his face relaxed.
Thank you,
he said softly.
I can cauterize it, McKenna said. Ian, tell me where the injury is.
Ian didn't answer. Pulling Ian back, I whispered, How bad is it? Ian shook his head, then said just loud enough for me to hear, His body is filling with blood. Wade's entire body shook.
I don't think...
Stay with me, buddy,
Jack said frantically.
You're a warrior.
I don't think...
His chin quivered.
Are you a warrior or wimp?
Jack said, tears streaming down his cheeks.
Warrior or wimp?
Wade looked up at him.
You're the only friend I've ever had. Thank you for being...
Jack's eyes filled with new tears.
Don't leave me, buddy. Please, Wade.
Wade trembled.
I...
He swallowed, then mumbled.
I'm... sorry.
Then he went silent. His head fell back.
No!
Jack shouted. He began pressing on Wade's chest, but it did nothing but force more blood out of his wound.
Start his heart,
Jack said to me.
Michael, shock him, please.
I didn't move. I knew it wouldn't help.
Please.
All right, I said. I knelt down. You need to let go of him.
No,
he said. I shocked him. Jack shouted out with pain, and Wade's whole body jerked, but nothing happened.
Nothing, Ian said.
Again, Michael,
Jack said. I looked at him. Jack.
Please.
All right. I jolted him again. Again, Jack shouted. I looked at Ian, and he shook his head.
Again!
Jack pled.
Please try again!
Jack, I said. He's gone.
No. He can't be.
I put my hand on Jack's back. I'm sorry, but he's gone. Jack wrapped his arms around Wade's head.
No,
he sobbed.
No, no, no.
We all looked at him, fighting our own emotions.
It's my fault,
Jack said. No, it's not, I said. It's not your fault.
I made him come here,
Jack said.
I made him. I've killed my best friend.
Chapter 22. The Next Step. Time seemed frozen, disjointed like broken sequences cut out of a horror movie. Jack's hands and torso were drenched in blood, and he was screaming in anguish. All of us were crying, even Tessa, who didn't know either of them. During it all, one of the guards woke and began shouting at us to let him go. The emotion of the moment piqued my anger.
Shut up!
I shouted.
Let me out of this!
He shouted back. I stood and walked to him. When he saw the fierce anger on my face, his own expression turned from anger to fear. I had to control myself so that I only shocked him unconscious. Then Zeus and I dragged him out of the clearing into the jungle, crammed leaves into his mouth, and tied his shirt around his face to keep him from making any more noise. We were doing it for his benefit. In Jack's current state, he would gladly silence him permanently. Then Zeus, Ian, and I dragged the other guards into the jungle, including the two who had been shot. There was no need to tie up the guard who had shot Wade. He hadn't survived Zeus's blast. Abigail found a wool blanket in one of the trucks, and she and McKenna draped it over Wade's body. It was nearly an hour before Jack finally left Wade's side. He sat alone at the edge of the clearing, softly crying. Grief is a powerful force that settles in the heart like a dark, heavy fog. It was familiar territory to me. I was 8 years old when I lost my father. Everyone wandered off to their own place. Ian was in a daze, muttering that he should have seen the guard, and he walked off alone. Abigail, Tessa, and Zeus sat together outside the clearing near the spot we had first entered. McKenna and Austin went for a walk, while Taylor and I sought refuge in the front seat of the red truck. I just held her in silence. So much had happened since we'd separated, but neither of us felt like talking about it. The gladness we felt at being together again was muted by shock and grief. An hour or so later, Austin walked up to us alone. He opened the back door of the cab and climbed in. His eyes were as swollen as ours.
I can't believe this, he said. I can't believe Wade's gone.
He looked at me anxiously.
Is your mom safe?
She got out, I said. She's with the voice.
I wish we were,
Taylor said softly.
What are we going to do now?
I looked through the windshield at Jack, then back at Taylor. We've got to get out of here before someone finds us.
And go where?
Austin asked. Jaime gave me the name of a hostel in Cusco. We'll drive there.
Jaime?
Taylor said.
You mean the guy who took us up the river?
I nodded.
How did you find him? Austin asked.
He found me, I said. Do you remember that tribesman we saw on the way in? Austin nodded.
The Amakara.
They saved me from the Elgen. Then they brought Tessa and me to Jaime. Taylor said,
Who is Tessa?
Tessa was one of Hatch's kids until she escaped from the Starsource plant 6 months ago. The Amakara were hiding her. When the Peruvian army started moving in, the tribe took us up the river to Jaime. We hiked through the jungle until we found a place to stop the convoy.
How did you know where we were?
Austin asked. The voice, I said.
You talked to the voice?
He asked. Jaime had a radio. I raked my hand back through my hair. Things aren't going well. Hatch has taken control of the Elgen. The voice wanted me to rescue you, then go to Lima and sink the Elgen boats.
What boats? Taylor asked.
The Elgen run their empire from a fleet of boats. Hatch has gathered the fleet and is taking them to an island where he plans to build a base where they can create weapons of mass destruction.
This just keeps getting better, Taylor said.
At least we're still alive, Austin said.
Taylor looked at him as the pain of his words surfaced.
Not all of us.
Austin winced.
I just want to get out of this stupid place, Taylor said. The Peruvians think we're terrorists and want to publicly hang us.
She breathed out slowly.
I just want to go back to my old life. But it doesn't exist anymore, does it?
I shook my head. Not the way it was. Until we stop Hatch, he'll just keep coming.
Ignorance was bliss, she said.
Just then McKenna walked up to us. Austin opened his door, then slid over so McKenna could sit next to him. He took her hand, which surprised me. Outside of his mother, I had never seen Austin even touch a girl. Clearly a lot had happened since we'd been separated at the Starsource plant. Taylor said,
So if we sink this boat, then what?
We'll go back to America, I said.
What boat are you talking about? McKenna asked.
The Elgen boat, Austin said.
The Ampere? She said.
I looked at her. You know about the Ampere?
I've been on it. It was a long time ago, before Hatch locked us up.
Hatch is bringing the entire Elgen fleet to Peru. The voice wants us to sink the Ampere.
How do you sink a huge boat? McKenna asked. The Ampere is huge.
I could come up with a dozen ways, Austin said. At least.
How would we even get there? Taylor asked. You know the army will be watching the roads out of here. They'll probably have roadblocks.
Maybe not this one, I said, looking at the dirt road. It wasn't on the map.
It's probably just an old logging road, Austin said. They might not even know about it.
Those Elgen guards felt safe enough on it to use it, Taylor said. Do you think it goes all the way to Cusco?
I don't know, I said. But you're right. We can't go back to Puerto Maldonado. I say we follow it as far as it goes, then hike the rest of the way out of the jungle. At least we'll bypass any roadblocks. Taylor's voice fell.
What do we do about Wade? We can't leave him here.
We'll take him to Cusco and give him a proper burial.
Even if we have to carry him? She asked.
I don't think Jack would leave him, I said. But it's up to him. Everyone went quiet. Finally, I turned to McKenna. How's Ian doing?
Not well, she said. He's blaming himself for not seeing the guy. He can't see everything, Taylor said.
He can, Austin said. He just didn't.
That's not helpful, Taylor said. Don't you dare say that around him. He feels bad enough.
I'm not dumb, Austin said.
So what do we do once we're in Cusco? McKenna asked.
We'll meet up with Jaime and make our plan, I said.
Another plan, Taylor said. I'm sick of plans. Someday I want someone to say, we're going shopping.
If only, I said. Taylor laid her head against my shoulder. I pulled her into me. Everyone just fell silent.